Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Samantha, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so much.
How did you first find Organize 365?
Well, I listened to Angela Watson's Truth for Teachers podcast, and you were on that podcast, and I was already involved in her program, and it was really working well for me. So after I heard you, I took a deep dive into everything Organize 365 and researched and knew it would be right for me.
Yeah, she has an awesome podcast. So if you guys haven't heard it, it's Truth for Teachers by Angela Watson. So Samantha, who lives with you in your home? You're joining us from your classroom at the end of a long day, I'm sure. Before you head home, who's going to be there when you get there?
That would be my husband and my four-year-old son, my two-year-old daughter, and my four-month-old daughter.
I would be like taking a 20-minute nap in my classroom before I went home if my kids were that little.
I literally did that yesterday.
Okay. So. All right. So you're human. This is good news.
Yeah, it was a holiday yesterday. So I was wiped and I took a nap and then went home.
Oh my goodness. I mean, those are really, really fun and really, really exhausting years. So how long ago was it that you found Organize 365 and Angela Watson's program? Like, when did you start getting organized and why did you decide to get organized?
My husband and I moved a lot when we were first married after 2012. And then when we finally bought a place, I realized how much stuff we had just accumulated for all the just in case. And once we finally had our own place, a lot of the things didn't have a place. And so that was the reason why I started to organize. I was very overwhelmed with just the accumulation of stuff and I didn't want to deal with it anymore. The other part was that when we started having kids, then of course the stuff accumulates. And so I know that I did my round one in the summer of 2019, but I think I started getting organized in 2018 after I heard you on Angela's podcast. But I was kind of doing it myself, hodgepodging things together. But as I listened to the podcasts and started to understand why you set up the program the way you did and why you did things in certain order and why the Sunday basket was important, and it just all started to come together like a puzzle, that's when I dove in.
And when did you have your son? Would that have been in 2018 or 2017?
17.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he would have been a baby when you got started with your organizing.
Yes. It was September of 2017. And so as he was getting older and the stuff was getting to be more and more and bigger and bigger, all the bouncers and all of the everything, it was really starting to pile up.
And when was your second baby born?
December of 2019.
Okay. So you would have been like pregnant when you were going through the first round, maybe?
Yes. You know what? And actually, yes, I was pregnant with her. And I think because of being so tired when I was pregnant and my son was young, I think that's when just everything, I knew I needed a change. And so I like just the way things, of course, are organized in Organized 365. And so it really helped in that summer being off from teaching, being able to really invest in the time and of doing all of it and going through that first round.
And so have you stayed in your same physical house the whole time you've had children?
No, we recently moved in February of last year. Oh, but yes, that was one of the times that I realized I was getting way organized, was because when we went to move, it was so easy and I didn't have to declutter. And so we moved in February of 2021. So we've been there about a year now.
Okay.
But the first home we were in for about 5 years.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So you started getting organized in the summer of 2018. Mm-hmm. And so what is your process of getting organized? Because you've like
like, you remember all the dates. Like, I never remember the dates of what I do. Like, I love it when people could be like, I did this, and then this happened. And
no, I think it's so interesting. I wrote it all down.
But you had to go back and think about it. Like, I think it's so interesting to watch how people go through the different programs and their different life events that happen as they go through it. So when was the first time you really started to notice that this was working and the organization at home was sticking?
So there were two times I noticed a huge change. The first time was round two, when I went to declutter my kitchen, because, you know, first round is declutter and then you focus on organizing. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to declutter again, but there wasn't much to do. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I can kind of breeze through some of these days and really focus on the organizing instead of just getting rid of all the stuff. And the biggest thing with that was having the zones, because when I took the time to really map out the zones and why things should be where and how they would fit together, and I implemented it after the first round, then it took the decision-making out of it. Because I didn't have to decide, where should this go? Where should this go? Oh, this is new. Where should this go? You know, instead of just throwing things where a spot was available, there were places where things were supposed to be. So round two was the first time that I noticed a really big change. And the second time, oh yeah, I told you, was when we went to move. I was going to pack and declutter, and there wasn't anything really to declutter. Wow. Because I had only what I needed.
So when you moved to your new house and you went to set up your kitchen, did you set up the zones first before you moved in? Or, okay, tell us what that was like.
That was so fun, because I had done it once before, and moving into a new kitchen, everything is just clean. So I didn't have to take anything out. It was already all out. It was so fun. I took my planner, and I actually did it before we moved. I had the blueprints of the house, or no, I took the pictures of the listing. Uh-huh. And so I was like, okay, we've got this cabinet over here and the stove's here and this cabinet here. And so I mapped out each zone and knew what I had. So I knew what would go in there. And then I just got to check it off and throw stuff where it belonged. It took not a long time.
You know, as you're saying this, I realized, I never realized this until just now. This is what I did as a professional organizer. Oh my gosh, this is exactly what I did. I would go to people's houses and I would have them give me like a full tour so that I could give them an estimate for how long it was going to take and how much it was going to cost. But really, I did it because I'm such a visual person. I wanted to actually see their house. And then the night before I was going to organize, I knew what room we were going to start in. I would either look at the pictures on my phone that I had taken, or I would close my eyes and would mentally see myself in their house. And then I would think about all the questions I had asked them, like, how many kids are there and how did they use that space and how long had they lived there? And like, I just had this whole list of questions I always asked everyone, just very inquisitive. And then in the middle of the night while I was sleeping, I would literally move things around from cabinet to cabinet or room to room. And I would be like, oh, but that's going to create a mess here. So then I'm going to have to move that here. So then that's going to go here. So then when I showed up at their house, it's like I had already organized it in my head. And then I was like, okay, we're emptying all this out. And they're like, but this is where I'm like, no, this is going to be. And I would, and so I would know the order in which I was like, no, we need the drink cabinet. So then I'm pulling all these things out and I'm going to clear this one, because I know I can get that one done and it's not going to show them the visual clutter. But I didn't realize that's what I was doing as a professional organizer. And I've taught you guys now how to do the same thing.
You have taught us how to take a step back from being in it all. And another podcast I listen to, they say like, you need to take time to work on the business instead of in the business.
Yes.
And so you help us work on the business and bigger picture stuff instead of worrying about the little onesie twosies. You know, well, if I put this here, then the blender won't fit over here or whatever.
Right.
Instead, like when I was moving, I was able to see the big picture without being inundated in with all the stuff.
Yes. Yes. So fascinating. Okay. So has anything unexpected happened in the last couple of years while you were getting organized?
Yes. Of course, everyone says the pandemic was an unexpected event, which it was. It put us in our house much more and in our house with little children much more. Yes. And for part of it in my house, teaching with little children. Yeah. So that really opens your eyes to things that maybe you weren't noticing for a while. And now they're in your face all the time.
Yeah.
So that was definitely motivating to keep the organization journey going. And then the other unexpected event that occurred was my daughter, who was born in 2019, she had to come 4 weeks early. So she was due in January, and she was actually born 3 days before Christmas. But I really was able to reap the benefits of the organization and productivity because I was very, very planned for the holidays, which anyone who knows me, that would not have happened before.
Really?
Yes. No, it just came as it goes or whatever. So what had happened was I was very planned for the holidays prior to Thanksgiving because I wanted to enjoy them. I wanted to enjoy them with my family. So the gifts were already bought and wrapped by mid-December. The decorations had been up by, I think, Thanksgiving. And we enjoyed ourselves. And then what happened was we found out she would have to come early. And we had already enjoyed the holidays, enjoyed the decorations, the time that it had taken to put everything out. We got to experience it. And we were able to very quickly tear it all down. And it was already organized. So we got to put it back in our organized way. Wow. And instead of worrying about that stuff and coming home to just a mess after already having a preemie baby, we came back to an organized house. And it was amazing.
Wow. So that was December of 2019.
Yes.
So she was born right before the pandemic.
Yes.
And then you ended up going, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like, it's so crazy. I think we're far enough out now that we're 2 years out. Like, I'm starting to, like, people will say, when was the last time you did this? Like, it was a movie theater. So our daughter was like, when are we going to go back to the movies? I was like, well, it's been 2 years since we've been to one. Cause like, I know I haven't gone to one since the pandemic, but I'm like, oh my gosh, 2 years. Like, some of these things that we did in 2019, it's been a full 2 years since then.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's interesting how much we have changed, isn't it?
Yes. And I'm actually noticing, especially now, because with my planners, that's how I knew which rounds I did, because I was purchasing planners for when I was active in them. And I thought I had done a ton of rounds just because I'm always thinking about it and always doing stuff little by little, but I'm actually only on my fourth official round.
Yeah, but no, it is interesting when you go back and you look and you've done the work for 3 or 4 solid years every day, but only the physical work 3 times. And the mental work really is the work.
Yes. Oh, that's where I was saying it. Because with the pandemic, when all of the outside activities were stripped away, now that I'm noticing my calendar and my planner just fill up a little more and become a little more complex in how I plan things, it was good for me to have that time and reprioritize and see what's important to me, because now, especially being organized in my time, I'm able to say yes to what I want to and no to the things that I just don't want in my life anymore. And it's easier.
Yeah. And I mean, 3 little kids, that's a lot of little kids.
It is.
I mean, that's a, there's no, I mean, it's constant.
It is very constant. If I'm not intentional with my time and planning now, then it's just gone.
So how do you fit your planning time in? Like, when do you like do your Sunday basket? When do you plan for the 100 days? When do you plan for your school? Like, how do you do that?
Well, the school stuff is easier because of Angela's program. So I've got that taken care of, but the home stuff is where I really needed to learn. And so I've heard you talk about it for years. I've had the Sunday basket for years, but I didn't do it consistently. And so of course I didn't reap the benefits from it. So when baby 3 came along and I was on maternity leave last year, I was feeling the time coming when I would have to go back to work. And I knew I have to do something or I'm going to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off all the time.
Yeah.
So I had tried the Sunday basket many times, but just kind of following the printed directions that were given, kind of forgetting that we had the Sunday basket club available. So I was like, all right, I have 3 kids. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do this when I go back to work, but I'm going to try now. And I don't do it live because I have family time on Sundays. So I watch the replays and follow along. And that made all the difference, because whoever's doing the coaching or leading it says, here are 20 minutes, here is what you do. So instead of thinking about it, I just do what they say. And then here's 20 minutes, here's what you do. And they're fine about, you know, if you need to take extra time, and there's no pressure, but just following what they said to do. I don't know why I didn't do this 3 years ago. So annoying. I wish I would have known, but I mean, I knew, but I wish I would have done it. So I started the Sunday basket process and routine while I was on maternity leave. And I usually do it Saturday mornings now. That's what works for me. Okay. Or late Sunday evenings. But like you say, that time that you put into it gives you way more time in the week. So I do it every week now.
Yay.
Yes. It's awesome. I love it.
So, how in the world are you doing the 100-day program part of the Productive Home Solution during the school year with three little kids? This does not compute in my brain.
Well, it works because of you preaching about grace upon grace upon grace.
Okay, good.
That's why it works, because I certainly do not do 15 minutes a day. Okay. I might do 15 minutes on one day and then not look at it for 2 weeks. I might do 7 days all on a Friday evening when I have a burst of energy and my kids have to go to sleep. So I really just follow my energy, follow when I have time. And that is not how I would have worked previously. I would have put all the days in my calendar, and on Monday I do this, Tuesday I do this, Thursday I do, you know, whatever. But then I would get so down on myself for falling behind. Mm-hmm. And it's just not reasonable. Even though you can do that if you want to, you know, many people think they're going to do all 100 days, on the days that they're supposed to, but that's how I make it work for me. I know that any day that I complete moves my family forward, moves me forward, and allows me to do what I'm created to do. And that's really what it's about. It started as organization and stuff management. And then, well, just like the second round, you focus on productivity. And then the third round, organization and then productivity. Yeah. And I'm seeing many ways in which the productivity stuff is just freeing my mind and freeing my space and my schedule. And it's really life-changing, honestly. It really is. And that's why I keep doing it. So I know you were asking how I do it, but it's because just give yourself grace. I'm pretty sure that on the first round, I got to day 13, but it made a huge difference. And so the next round, I went a little more. And this round, I think I'm on day 30 something. So I don't even know where we are in the program.
Do you think, it doesn't matter. Do you think that it's, you know, because it's your fourth round that you're able to do more of the cherry picking and doing the 15 minutes and realizing that's going to move you forward? Like the first round, you don't necessarily see the progress that you're making. Like you said, when you started the second round, you're like, oh, the kitchen is actually decluttered. So then you're like, okay, this is working. I'll just keep going a little bit more, a little bit more. She says, I could do them out of order. I want to organize electronic cords. All right, I'll just look up that video and I'll do that today because I could do it out of order. So you start to gain confidence, not only in yourself, but in the process, and realize that every 15 minutes really does count. It doesn't matter when they are or in what order or how quickly or how long it takes.
The order, I think, is important in one aspect, because I know you're very intentional about that. The kitchen is where you spend most of your time. And then what's next, the bedroom or the closet?
Yep. Bedroom, bathroom, and your closet.
Yes. But you still are very vocal about do what you need to do. And like you said, I did jump when we were doing, I think we got our garage floor report or something. So that was a great time to, I know it was awesome.
That's because, what my husband wants. He's like, I'd like that floor, Lisa. I was like, okay, it's on the list eventually, dear.
It's really nice. And it gives you an excuse to empty out the garage.
Oh my gosh.
So that was part of moving though. So that was nice. But I was able to jump to that part and be like, okay, now's my opportunity to get that nice, you know, storage unit with the bins that match, and they have to be clear because it just all makes sense. But then I never went back to the garage after that because I haven't made it that far. But you pick and choose what you need because you know that you can do it and it will make a difference.
Yeah. So what do you think you have more of now?
I have more quality time with my family. especially my kids. I have confidence in what I'm capable of, not only in my homemaking, because I never would consider myself a homemaker, but I have confidence in what I can do at my house, what I can do at my job, what I can do in my community. I have peace of mind about my house because it was just a big explosion before all the time. And now it is a place where I feel good about being there, you know, usually, but we have three kids, so we have to clean all the time.
Yeah.
But I have more boundaries in my life about my time, about people I'm with, expectations of myself. I have more appropriate expectations of myself. And then more time in my calendar.
Wow. So how has, you know, for you and your partner, how's this been for you guys together to get organized? Has he like had any observations or comments or?
Yes. He sees what it has done for me positively, because I've also struggled with anxiety and depression. Mm. And so along with working with my doctor, of course, but these things have allowed me to be less anxious, to be less controlling. And he sees that. He also knows that he can, if he wants me to like look at something, or if we want to really talk about something, that to the Sunday basket it goes, because he knows that I will do it. And me too, like get the stuff out of our brain and into the Sunday basket, and it will be taken care of. Those balls won't be dropped. And he kind of makes fun of it just because I'm super nerdy into it, but he knows that, he sees that it makes a difference in our house. He's like, are you doing more of your organizing stuff? Are you doing the silverware drawer again? Are you doing the cups again? Do I have to get rid of my water bottles again? So he sees that I do it. He likes it. He's not following the program or anything. That's, that's not his thing, but he reaps the benefits.
A lot of change. You've been through a lot of change in 4 years. You've had three kids and a pandemic and moved. You've gone from being responsible for yourself to being responsible for all these different little lives with all this, the varying, you know, three little kids is three completely different personalities and ways they go through the stages and how much cuddling time they need and how much discipline they need and what kind of foods they prefer. And like,
it's, oh yeah,
I mean, it is a, you've gone through a lot of change in a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot, but really, I know I just sound like an ad for the Sunday basket, but it makes a huge difference because I have a dedicated time to process a lot of these things. And even if I don't do the processing during the Sunday basket time, when I do my brain dump and I put, need to think about if we're doing preschool, it just goes on the list. Need to think about when are we switching the car seat from reverse to forward? Like I can put that on there and then schedule the time to do it so that I don't have to think about it all the time. So I can say, okay, on Tuesday after work, I'm going to, you know, call my husband while I'm on the drive home and talk about the car seat or talk about the way my kids are behaving and things like that.
So that's exactly what I was thinking about. When our kids were little, that's when I very first created the Sunday basket. Obviously, it wasn't a box, but it's just a basket. But part of it was because I was home with the kids all the time and I was working from home. Like I was earning an income from home, but I was primarily a stay-at-home mom. And Greg would come home from work and then I would be like peppering him with these big questions, just like you just mentioned. And he's exhausted. He just walked in the door from work. I'm also handing him a child and I'm making dinner. And I'm trying to have like this big conversation and I don't understand why we're arguing 5 minutes later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so like already just with baby Grayson, like Greg and I were talking, we tend to talk on Saturday mornings. It tends to be the best time for us to talk. Always has been the best time for us to talk. It's way better as a grandparent, by the way. So you just get the baby back or they just sleep with you while my daughter's running around cleaning everything. But already we've had the conversation. I said, we're sending him to Montessori school, right? Like we're paying for preschool, right, Greg? And private school. And he goes, of course. So like, we're already online looking at the Montessori school, which our friend owns the school. And we're like, oh, how much does it cost? How much do we need to save for tuition? Whereas when we were having kids, it was like, we didn't have money for private school. And that would have been a whole big conversation. And so, yeah, I think it's, you have to have these conversations and you have to figure this stuff out. Like Abby just asked me the other day when they flip from reverse to forward. Is it one? Or they want you to do it even longer now? Don't they want
to? They want it longer. They want you to stay rear facing until at least two.
At least two.
Yes. And they would.
But you can move in the bigger car seat reverse, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you talking about the bucket seat?
Yes.
Oh, that. Yeah, that you can move up from. I'm thinking I have all of them, so I'm getting them confused. And we're moving my two-year-old from her big seat reversed to forward. So yeah, the bucket seat whenever they outgrow the height and weight requirements. I don't know how big Grayson is.
A sturdy boy. He's like 19 pounds and he's 5.5 months. And he was a preemie. Let's all remember he was 4 weeks early.
Oh my goodness.
So Abby's like carrying him around like, oh, it's longer to have to carry this baby. And you know, then I'm thinking also large car seat, we need three. You know, both grandparents plus Abby. So I'm like budgeting for that. When do you buy them? And then you got to get them installed. And it's a lot of little things. Like already he's gone through so much food and now he's getting allergy testing tomorrow. And then he's probably going to need a new formula. And he's already had his first antibiotic. And he's like, that's just so much stuff.
Said it about raising your own kids, but once you get something figured out, it changes.
Oh,
because they change.
Like, yeah. So Abby and I had this great little schedule and I was helping her make him go to three naps from four. And it's been a couple of weeks. And I was like, okay, I think we need to go from 6 ounces to 8 ounces. And I think his morning nap is going to be half an hour. You feed him half an hour earlier and the morning nap is going to be earlier. And then this, and she's like, but we just did this 2 weeks ago. I was like, yeah, right.
And you'll do it this in another 3 weeks, another 2 months.
Right. I'm like, she likes to get like a schedule. Like she likes him. I'm like, yeah, that's adorable. That's not a thing.
Yes.
This is another human.
As he gets older, the schedules will start to last a little longer, but then.
And she's like, we just did this. And then Abby and I talk about it all the time to help her process like what's going on. Plus I love it. And Greg's like, how many times can you guys talk about what he's eating and how often and how much? I was like, all the time, Greg. We could talk about it all the time. All the time. All right. What do you think you have less of now, Samantha?
Less of. I don't know where I heard this term. I don't know if it was you or from another podcaster, but I have less analysis paralysis.
Yeah, that was not me, but I love that. And I don't remember who it's from either, but it wasn't me, but I do love that phrase.
Well, it's definitely not from me, but it perfectly describes what I would do. If I would have so much to do, instead of finding some way to accomplish it all, I'd just stop and be stuck in my head about it. And then nothing would get done. So I have way less of that because I have a process of putting everything that needs to be done into a place, confidently knowing that it will get done, not just shoving it aside, hoping it'll disappear. So I have less of that. Honestly, less choices that I have to make because the example I gave of the kitchen zones, I don't have to make choices about where stuff goes because I have sat and thought about where it would make sense. And now I just implement.
Yeah. It's like your classroom. Like the kids know where to sharpen the pencils and where to get an extra pencil and where there's extra filler paper and where to turn in their papers. Like it really is setting up your house like a classroom.
Yes. Especially too with the young kids there. But of course, anyone can do that even without kids. It's just the intentionality of thinking through how will this work for me? How will it work for my family if you have one and doing it? Yeah. But taking that time to think about it first is important. And I just put less slipping through the cracks, less last minute emergencies and things that don't belong in my life, less stuff in my schedule, less physical clutter, less even sometimes relationships if they're not serving us. So,
and also when I think about the classroom, like when I was in the classroom teaching, you'd get to like 6 weeks into the semester and you'd be like, I don't like the way this classroom is organized. Like this has to change. And sometimes you would say, okay, on Monday, like we're all like moving desks or reorganizing, like, and you'd actually do it. And other times I'd be like, okay, either at the half break or next year, I'm going to make it so that this doesn't happen again. And I think that's what we do in between those rounds of the 100-day program. So you're like, okay, I'm going to test this out. And you could get started. You'd be like, okay, I don't like that I put the drink cabinet there. but you're not going to immediately change it because you're out of time. You're like, okay, next time I get to this, I'm going to try swapping that somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how we do in our classrooms also. And those continual rounds are kind of like new school years or new semesters where you're like, okay, now I've done it this way for a while. What's working? What's not working? What do I want to change? Whereas if you're not going through rounds in your house, like you do semesters at school, then it's like, well, I moved in and I set it up. When would you ever go through it again? And we're kind of like faking it. Like we're making these new semesters and rounds in your house.
Yeah. That's why I think other types of things where just if people think that organizing is ever going to be something where you do it and you're done, it's just not realistic. It's not how life works. And that's one of the reasons I appreciate the lifetime access to your program, because even if I did every day of the 100-day program three times a year, my needs now are different than they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And they're going to continue changing as my life goes on, as my kids grow up and things like that. And those on purpose resets are just really important. And even being able to know that they're coming, you can know that, okay, if I don't get to this now, in 3 months or 4 or 5 months, I will come back to it. And that's reassuring too, because you don't feel like you're giving up on yourself or letting things just go. You know, you'll come back to it.
And specifically for you, for the next 5 years, that'll be definitely true. But when your youngest gets into all day school, you'll notice that you could go a whole year. You could do around a year versus the multiple rounds. Once you get to your youngest is five. Mm-hmm. And then when your youngest is like eight, you could even go 2 years. And you will get to a point where once the kids are old enough that you literally could go 2-3 years in between rounds because your house will not change as much. But for right now, glad you have that mindset because yours is going to keep changing, especially if you keep adding kids.
No, I'm so glad. I heard too in some podcast a couple of years ago, you were talking about how like one of the drawers or cabinets in your house kept changing because it was like, well, this time it was for lunches or this time it was for bottles or whatever. And so when I was doing my zones for the new house, I set one of my drawers to do that. So even since we've moved in, first it was all of the nursing and pumping stuff. And now it's all of the bibs and spoons and forks for the kids. And before that, it was the, I don't know, little plates or plasticware or whatever. But I have that drawer set to change as we need it to because it will.
Yes, we have a cabinet and it's the bottom of the cabinet, which is Grayson's cabinet. And it has changed three times already. But Greg knows if he needs anything for Grayson, it's going to be in this one spot. And it used to just like we even put burp cloths in there in our kitchen because we don't want our whole house to be babyified again. It's going to be, I know it. You can laugh at me now, but I'm trying.
At least you know where to go to get
clean it up. Clean it up, Abby. This is grandma's house. But yeah, it was just the bottles and the burp cloths. And now we even just put the pacifiers there. And I was doing his medicine for a while. So I put his medicine there and then his little bibs and all that starting to come. He's going to need a bigger cabinet. But it is the grandparent Grayson zone of our kitchen versus just moving the baby into our kitchen. We're trying to fake that we have two houses here. But I do think it's a good mental thing for Abby that like she has the entire basement, which she already now realizes is bigger than any condo she can get. She has a full kitchen down there. So she does realize when she comes up on the first floor, she's in grandma and grandpa's house. So we're like, if Grayson didn't live with us, this is what I would do.
Well, and also she can see how you and Greg process through how you're going to have your house since your grandbaby and your daughter. Does Joey still live there or no?
No, he's very happily not living where the crying baby is.
Yes, very happily. I didn't
he moved out the week before the baby was born.
Perfect timing. But she can watch you and Greg process how you think about and how you plan for that. And so, of course, organizing for a grandbaby is different than for your own baby, but there's lots of overlap and the same intentionality. So she gets the benefit of seeing what you decide for your part of the home, and she can absorb some of that for her part of the home.
Yeah, and it's fun to see her reorganize stuff in the basement all the time too, because I mean, the toys and all that, and she's babysitting another baby that's the same age. Mm-hmm. And so she's always, you know, buying and reorganizing is really, really fun. Samantha, for you, is there anything that you wish you had known sooner?
I talked about it a bit, but I wish I knew what a big difference the Sunday basket would have. And I wish I knew that taking those few hours, and I know you say it, but I wish I knew that it would have just multiplication of time. What do you say about for every however many time you spend planning?
Yes. So I think it is. And again, we don't know where this quote comes from either, but we think it's Benjamin Franklin that said, for every hour you spend in planning, you save five in execution.
That's what it is.
So I say, and what we found in our surveys is people save on average 5 hours every single week from doing the Sunday basket.
If not more, to be, yeah. I mean, yeah. Average, that would be that. But yeah, the Sunday basket was the big one.
How long does it take you to do your Sunday basket?
Well, I speed through it. So at first, when I was doing it with the replays, I just did it with replays. So it was about an hour and maybe an hour, 15, hour and a half. But I set my timer and I've been timing myself. I do 20 minutes, 20 minutes, but I'm always finishing early except for the last one when I'm planning the week. Having said that, I don't do the 2.0 yet. I've gotten the 1.0 down pat. So that's probably why it takes me less time. So it honestly takes me like 45 minutes or less.
That's great.
Yeah. I think if I was doing the 2.0s, which I'd like to look at in the summer. Wait till the summer. Yeah. It's not
maybe one color per summer.
Yeah. Maybe one binder per summer, because that's what I want to do too. Yeah. But yeah, it's taking me 45 minutes or less usually.
Okay.
That's not
bad.
Not at all.
No. So what is next for you? What are you going to get organized next?
I want to do the binders. I would probably do those before really looking into the 2.0 stuff, especially because I think as the binders get done and as I'm getting better and better with the Sunday basket and as my children are getting older, I think that's when the 2.0 stuff will start to reveal itself.
Yep.
I mean, last week was the first time since my son was born, my four-year-old, that I was able to go back and serve at church. So, and like a Tuesday night something. So I'm sure that as time goes on, more and more opportunities and things that I'll do for myself will become available rather than just being able to take a nap, which is very important.
Yeah. You're just in a very reactionary phase of life.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So binders are next.
The binders are great because it's just going to replace your filing cabinet. It'll make everything easier and faster to see. Like, I think you'd be able to get through those pretty quickly in the summer. You'd be surprised.
Oh yeah. A lot of the physical papers that belong there are shoved into the flash pockets or the plastic sleeves, but it's not organized yet. Because I was like, get rid of the filing cabinet. I hate it. I hate the papers.
So you have no filing cabinet? You just have little pockets of papers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get that done really easily in the summer.
Absolutely.
That'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to somebody who is just starting out?
The very best advice for me was give yourself grace. In every aspect, if you're doing the 100-day program, just do what you can. If you do one thing, if you participate in one day, if you just clean your silverware drawer, it is one step closer for your family to living the kind of life that you want to. Give yourself grace on what you do, what you don't do. With the Sunday basket, I give myself grace. I usually like to do it on Saturdays or Sunday nights if I have to, but if it doesn't happen, fine, do it Monday, because you know that the time you put into it will work itself out. It's fine if it doesn't happen on the data that it's supposed to. I stopped making myself feel bad for getting behind on stuff because there's no point.
Yeah.
Any step that you take forward is better for you and your family. So grace upon grace is the advice I'd give.
It's literally impossible to be behind when you're getting organized. Like, you cannot possibly be behind. You cannot be behind. Like, you wouldn't say to your students that they're behind when you're teaching them something new. You're like,
no,
look at how much you learned. And this is where we're going. And this is how far we've come. And this is where we're going to go next. And here's how we can make it fun. And here are the friends that are going to come along with us. Like, it is literally fourth grade for organizing your house.
Yes. But the thing is that you help to meet us where we are at. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a teacher, because you are a teacher. And so some people will join the Protective Home Solution very organized in their life and looking for more ways to increase productivity. Some people will have piles all over them and not know what to do, but they can organize a drawer because you'll teach them how. And so you just keep moving forward. You can never be behind. What was it?
You can never be, it's impossible to be behind when you are getting organized.
Yes, that's completely true.
Yes. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for everything that you do for all of us in the community.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.